There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into this week's edition of NFL Friday. We have a lot to talk about, as always, but we have two rather ugly losses in the New York area to talk about. Not to start the show off on a totally negative note, but we are going to have to. We're going to talk a little Giants and Jets. We're going to have the "Are the Colts legit?" conversation, because I'm starting to get a little worried. And Joe's staring at me, and I'm getting really scared for our viewers and listeners.
It's called active listening.
Drake, we're going to have a Drake May conversation. Ooh. Because we have New England fans here, and they need to be kept happy, I guess. And we also have a couple of games this week to preview. It's kind of a shrug week. A lot of teams on the bye, but
there's no shrug week in NFL.
There is, and it's this one. And it was there's also the last time I hosted NFL Friday.
Let me remind you that you opened this podcast by saying we got a lot of things to talk about, and then you just called it a shrug week. Which isn't McCarron.
No, I'm saying a lot of things. Like, the main things I was talking about is that the Giants had, like, one of the worst season, worst losses I've ever seen, and the Jets are still being the Jets. Like, those are the two main things.
That's nothing to shrug about.
There's a lot. No, I'm saying, no, Joe. I'm saying the
talking about next week.
I'm saying this slate of games.
The slate of games is shrugful?
Yes. If you would do your active listening thing and listen, you would have known that.
My point stands. I don't think there could be a shrugful slate of games in the NFL in today's day and age. I think regardless, every Sunday is going to be something special. Like, the slate this past week wasn't... I can't believe we're already in discourse here.
What is going on?
We haven't even said each other's names.
I know. They don't even know who they're listening to.
They don't even know who they're listening to. This is, I don't know, it's Lou Orlando here. like, the slate of games on paper for past week was not very special, and then there were some awesome games. So, anyways, go ahead.
We're going to talk about some of the games that might be interesting. I'm saying, from just looking at it standpoint, is like, some of these games, you know, the Ravens are 1-5 and they're playing the Bears. I'm like, okay, that's not must-see television. I think that's kind of something we can all agree on. Some other stuff like Giants Eagles, I'm just terrified. Whoever the Jets, the Bengals and the Jets, like, whatever. But you're listening to I'm Grace McCarron, joined by Kate Cox, Joe, the very disagreeable Joe Henry, and Vanessa Casuta. And let's just jump right in. And let's get the bad stuff out of the way. Please. And let's talk about that Giants game in Denver this weekend. They're now 2-5. I don't even know how to start here.
Quite awful.
They're now 2-5, which I was thinking about this earlier. To me, 2-5 looks so much worse than 2-4. 2-4, I'm like, next week we could be 3-4, and that's like not that bad. But 2-5 is like, what if they go 2-6 against the Eagles next week, and that just looks terrible.
Wow.
You know?
Riveting. yeah, this game is awesome.
No, it wasn't.
As someone who's not a Giants fan at all.
No, it was awful.
This game is awesome. I mean, it was very silly, but I'm a fan of a silly game. A silly Sunday game.
I hate silly games.
You know, you get home from me and Brendan had our little play date at MetLife Stadium watching the Jets game. You get home and you get to watch that. I mean, it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of stats we can talk about from this game, right?
I have so many, like, historical things listed here. Well, let's just, for those who didn't watch or maybe are unfamiliar, the Giants lost, final score for Denver, 33-32 An all-time collapse by the Giants, who led 19-0 going into the fourth quarter and then went on to allow 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, giving up the lead, obviously. Blew an 18-point lead in the final 6 minutes. 6 minutes, and they blew an 18-point lead. First loss by the Pats, 1,603 teams that held an 18-plus point lead with 6 minutes left in the game. Jackson Dart, let's touch on the positives. Jackson Dart had himself a good game. He had 4 touchdowns. He had that interception on third down, which was, you know, not great. It wasn't great. I don't think it's why they lost.
He's showing a lot of promise.
He was not the issue,
the main issue.
You know, there have been times in the past where the quarterback has been the problem for the Giants. Not naming names. We're going to talk about him later, though, funnily enough.
For once, it's not a quarterback problem.
Exactly, which is something that we should... Why are you shaking your head?
Look, he's a rookie, so I get it, but he looked horrible in the fourth quarter.
Anyways. Yes, but also, like, how does the defense give up?
Yeah,
33
sure.
points. It's sure. something that maybe you should think about.
The throw decisions were crazy.
Yes. But you also have to allow room for the rookie quarterback
to
screw up.
And I respect that. I'm not gonna hate on him or anything. I think he's been generally very impressive. But that's a very rookie thing, like not being able to close out a game. Nothing shocking.
But somewhere where you want a little more of a guarantee is your kicker. And that is not did you like that segue? That is not something that the Giants have had a guarantee on in a few weeks now. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm saying this right. Jude McTomney.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Doesn't matter. We won't be having this.
It doesn't matter because he got released today.
He got cut today. He missed 2 extra points on Sunday. Obviously, that's 2 points that they could have had. Mm-hmm. And
then how much did they lose by?
1 point.
Right. So,
if you think about it mathematically, right. Those 2 extra points, they would have won the game.
Won the game, yeah.
Yep. And they would have beaten another very good football team in the Denver Broncos.
Got it.
Here's what I'll say. I'm going to try and be positive. Jackson Dart, we already talked about. I will give them putting up 32 points against probably the best defense in the league.
Good defense.
Not something I thought would happen. I thought this would be a little more ugly. Did not think the Giants would win this game. I was pleasantly surprised after the first 3 quarters, obviously. But the league's best defense, I didn't think they'd put up more than 30. I thought... has the makings of a 14 point, maybe. Not even. I'll give him that. But, Kate, I'll start with you. I've done a lot of talking. What are your initial reactions so far to what happened in Denver? Also, one more note. The Denver Broncos did honor Demaryius Thomas pregame, added him to their Ring of Honor, which was a beautiful moment. It was great. That kind of made me think, like, there's going to be some movement in the universe here that would let them win this game because it was a really nice, special moment. It was a special day in Denver. They loved Demaryius.
So Jackson Dart and Brian Daboll paid tribute to Demaryius Thomas.
That is not what I'm saying.
Okay, wait. No. But in tribute, he died when he was 33. Broncos scored 33 points.
Wow.
It's kind of a special thing.
Any other day, you have to find so happy
you have
for
to
the Broncos.
Find the bright spots.
Because like we all grew up watching the Demaryius Thomas was like our childhood. He was awesome, and then he died suddenly a few years ago. Terrible situation, and they honored him pregame on Sunday, and it was very nice. Any other day, I would absolutely be rooting for them, and I would think this is beautiful. Just the fact that it happened to the Giants.
Right.
Go ahead, Kate. What did you think?
Well, Joe, you mentioned how Jackson Dart kind of fell apart in that fourth quarter. And while I agree with that, when the Broncos took their first lead in the fourth quarter, there's like a minute and 8 seconds remaining, and the Giants have the ball back and faced fourth and 19, and Dart made the play.
Tell me, look in my eyes and tell me that Jackson Dart was... His positive play was the reason why the Giants made that drive.
No, I'm not saying it's him. I'm just saying he...
Had the Giants hung on to win that game, that would have been, bar none, the worst game-winning drive of all time.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just saying...
So they still won.
I'm still saying he still... I don't care. He pulled it together.
But he didn't. Like, he did not. Well, Grace, He did not pull it together in that drive.
Okay, no, he had a bad quarter, but like,
but he, they scored.
45 yard penalty.
But they scored. That's
okay, it was not due to Jackson Dart. Obviously, the actual touchdown, great play from Jackson Dart. Cool. When they got to the 1 yard line off of some crazy penalties, hilarious penalties, very fitting for the theme of the game. A PI that takes you to the 2 yard line, and then your own coach, who's been in the NFL longer than I've been alive, decides to run onto the field with less than a minute to go. That's awesome. Very fitting for the game of football we were playing. But Jackson, it wasn't like Jackson Dart started dicing up this
defense.
That's
not what I was going to say. You interrupted
me. Don't put words in her mouth.
You interrupted me. I was just saying he wasn't complete. He hadn't completely fallen apart. He still participated in that. I feel like he is not, you know, obviously Giants fans love him.
That's true. It's
really
hard for
just,
me to be mean
and
to
really
him.
Truly just hate Russell Wilson as a whole right
I
now.
I wish Russell Wilson had worked. Like, if he had worked out, like, I'd be fine with it.
I'd be happy with it, too.
Yeah, like, I actually thought that was going to go much better than it did. And he had a good game against the Cowboys
this
a week,
too.
He had
a very short leash.
He had a very short leash because I think the Giants
switched it up so
the Giants
quickly.
Organization obviously like loves Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
So they
it was the right decision.
It
like,
was.
The Giants have won games since then, and Jackson Dart pound like overall, like he hasn't been perfect, obviously.
But he's been
but
very
overall he's been
serviceable.
I think more impressive than anyone could have expected.
Yeah.
And when they went away from Russell Wilson at first, I was like, wow, like he had one really bad
That's
game.
That's what I thought.
But he's coming off of a fantastic game where he had one bad throw, but he also threw for 450 yards and took the Giants to overtime. Like, I was stunned that they took him out that early and that they committed. They said, not only are we going to start Jackson Dart next week, he's our starter for the rest of the season. I was like, that's crazy.
I was initially enough, clearly, like, oh God, what are we doing?
Clearly, and you know, they have the insight. Clearly, they knew that he was ready for that. So, in retrospect, I don't hate the move, but it is kind of crazy to think the Russell Wilson journey lasted 3 weeks, was it?
Not even. Like, didn't he start?
Crazy. And
Jackson
started. And there's been drama about that since. Because Peyton brought that up and said, oh, I thought we'd be playing against Russell Wilson. I didn't think they were going to take him out so quickly.
Yeah.
And Wilson was like, this is classless. How could you say that about me?
Russell Wilson.
Obviously, they didn't end on great terms.
Of course.
And
Russell Wilson is also usually like the eternal positive guy who's like,
he never says anything.
I'm just so
response.
Blessed to be in this life. And, you know, it's a really beautiful sentiment for a guy who's won a Super Bowl, like been in the NFL and been very good for a long time. It's like a really nice sentiment. But this time he was like,
and he
no.
took some digs.
Like,
he was like, you're
like,
still
you're
bounty hunting.
And I was like, you know what, good for you,
later,
Russ.
Which is crazy.
That's crazy what he said. That's awesome.
He said, you're still bounty hunting 15 plus years later.
Incredible.
Media. Right. And then said, hashtag let's ride.
That's real hoops.
That was
awesome.
He's a hooper.
Right, and I just never would have expected that to come from him.
He's a ball knower.
So clearly it was a deep cut there. But it is, I would say, kind of a fair response when your previous coach is saying, well, we thought we were going to get him, but clearly he's not as good as this new rookie.
He kind of implied that he
He
basically said, like,
said
I wish they hadn't made the move to Dart
this
soon. And I was like, oh my God.
He basically was like, we could have more easily beat Russell Wilson.
Right.
Is kind of what he said.
Right.
Which I feel warranted that response. But back to Jackson Dart, he's showing promise. That's really what I'm trying to say.
And
I feel like this decision has been good because even though this game didn't go the way they wanted it to, at the end of the day, this was not on the offense. This was on the defense.
Which often, like, their offense has 100%. Been so, like, shrug the past few years. I feel like this is a stark improvement. Would you agree, Vanessa?
I'd agree. I like the scrappiness of it.
Yeah.
That's literally, that's probably the best word that I can use. I love the Scataboo Dart pairing. I love that Dart is a mobile quarterback. We haven't had that in I don't even know how long.
Right.
Maybe when there was like the switch ups last year, you know, maybe Tommy DeVito did it a little bit, but Russell Wilson isn't as mobile as Jackson Dart is, and him being able to extend plays is great. I'm happy to see that he's developing well. Obviously, there is a lot of work to be done, but it's a step in the right direction. And yes, I know they're 2-5. You know, I think it's a little frustrating to see that, you know, the Broncos won that game. I mean, even though I loved Demaryius, he was like one of my favorite.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Aside from like all the other team, he was like my favorite player to watch growing up. So them getting that win was nice. It's just, you know, just sloppy football, typical Giants, really.
It was real, yeah. But this also has like the makings of a loss that I feel like doesn't normally happen to the Giants. Like, this is a Jets loss.
Yeah.
This is, well, I don't know. The Jets scoring 32 points in a game.
That's true. That's
gonna say, I don't think they would get that.
That doesn't happen that much.
And not that we're even really arguing about this, but I just want to read out my point about this being the worst game-winning drive of all time, Giants won. The play-by-play on this drive is awesome. Kickoff, touchback, dart, sacked. Dart, incomplete. Dart, delay of game. Dart, incomplete. Dart, pass to Wandale Robinson for 19 yards, but short of the sticks. But a hilarious roughing the passer penalty on Denver to give them first down. Dart, incomplete. Dart, incomplete. Dart, incomplete. But a pass interference and a penalty on Sean Payton for running on the field for whatever reason, because he felt like it. And then a dart touchdown. Touchdown. Jackson Dart, 1 yard touchdown to give him the lead. That's a hilarious game-winning drive. Anyways.
Thank you, Joe. I just want to, before we move off of this, what do you guys think this loss like says about this Giants team? Vanessa, you want to go first?
It just kind of shows the sentiment that I've been seeing all year, is just the concerns with the defense, with them getting sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the one game that I really paid attention to and saw that a lot, and I think it was a completely unavoidable thing. Yes, you know, the Cowboys did play good, but there were a lot of flags on the defense, a lot of, you know, missed opportunities and whatnot. But I don't think this is, like, the end of the world. I just, if it happens again, then you're like, all right, like, what are we doing here, you know? There is so much opportunity for them. I mean, for crying out loud, they beat the reigning champs of the Super Bowl 2 weeks ago in a very, very good win, in my opinion. It's just, you know, there's just those concerns with the defense playing, you know, sloppy when they were supposed to be the strong side of the Giants and things like that. So,
yeah. Kate, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, same thing. I feel like this shows me bright spots in the offense.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff there. Scataboo didn't have his best game rushing-wise, but he still showed that same like persistence you see out of him every single time. Mind you, he was going up against the Broncos' defense, which is incredible. And the fact that they were able to score 32 points against the Bronco defense is something that they should be.
And without their number one receiver, we should mention.
Exactly. And they're obviously, they're leading the league in rushing attempts, which is because of Scataboo and it's because of losing Neighbors. But they also had Bellinger caught really well today and, like, this past weekend,
mm-hmm.
those sort of situations where the offense feels a lot stronger than I would have expected out of this team. It's just the defense. Deontay Banks with a few mistakes, just, like, classic situations where why in the fourth quarter are you letting up that many?
Yeah.
Like, touchdowns, scoring opportunities. They could have shut them down in just a few situations where, you know, Denver was able to convert on third and fourth down where they shouldn't have been able to, quite frankly.
Joe? Mm-hmm.
I think that and the Giants' offense failing to put this game away late in the game are perfect. They're emblematic of, as Chris Carino would say, they're an amalgamation of the Giants as a team. This is a team that is very young, very inexperienced, but also very talented and gritty. Talented and gritty enough to fight and be close and potentially beat teams that are legit NFL playoff contenders or playoff teams like the Denver Broncos, like the Philadelphia Eagles, like the Los Angeles Chargers, etc. On any given Sunday, this team can beat one of those teams. However, they do have the youth, the inexperience, and the lack of polish that relates in the kind of fourth quarter that we saw this week. That's my takeaway. So this team is too young and inexperienced to be able to consistently put away games that are strongly in their favor like this one. And a lot of the mistakes that we saw, Kate said, struggling to get off the field on third downs on defense, struggling to move the sticks and to keep the ball out of harm's way when you're trying to have a put-away drive in the fourth quarter with your offense. Those are the kind of mistakes that young teams have that prevent them from making the playoffs and really like jumpstarting your rebuild the way that the Commanders did last year, the Texans did 2 years ago. Like, there's always going to be one team. This year it's probably like the Patriots that jumps. No, that's true. Right? That's going to be
really
the playoffs.
No bias. Let's be real here, Grace.
But seriously, like the team that kind of skips a year in their rebuild, like their rebuild maybe a year faster than you would have expected. The Giants aren't quite there yet, and their quarterback's in their first year, their star running back's in his first year. The defense has a lot of talent, but is still very young and feels like it hasn't fully gelled as a unit. And it results in these games where you play very well, and there's plenty of positive takeaways, but at the end of the game, you end up selling the bag, so they say. I think this is a game, as Chris Carino would say, it amalgamizes the Giants as a franchise.
I don't think that's a verb.
Amalgamizes? Let's look it up. And that's perfectly fine. Like, if that's where your team's at right now, I think you can still enjoy watching them every week, feel good about their chances, recognize you're probably going to have another high draft pick, a year of development for these guys. The future is brighter than it has been in a long time.
Okay.
And there's also plenty of more games to be played.
That's true. And the next one will be in Philadelphia this Sunday. We remember what happened last time the Giants and Eagles played each other. I mean, Kate and I were watching it. I nearly cried. I mean, it was magical.
Let me just say my jaw was on the floor the
entire time.
I was like my head was in my hands. I was like,
Grace, what
crying.
Is going on? Yeah. This is so fun.
It's not amalgamizes, it's amalgamated. We're going to move on.
Okay.
That's okay. Yep.
I'll be better.
Totally fine.
That's all right.
But I do not think they're going to win this game.
I don't. I feel.
In Philly?
In Philly is tough. I fear.
And a pissed off Eagles team.
A pissed off Eagles team. I fear doing that twice is kind of.
A reach.
Really, really hard.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
No matter what the Eagles might, you know, whatever problems they might have, they're not. No team is perfect. But beating them twice is, and after you kind of embarrassed them last 2 weeks ago.
But.
Yes.
And this is where, like, this could end up being, like, the Giants. I don't mean to say this in a derogatory way, but this could be your Super Bowl. In that, and again, not being mean, but, like, the Giants are probably not going to make the playoffs this year.
However, so you're saying we're not going to the Super
Eagles
Bowl.
Eagles have been on the brink of total dysfunction.
They're
for
five
a couple
and
of
two.
Weeks. Those losses were bad.
Those
though,
losses
right?
were that's bad.
They
very
should
bad.
Not have lost to those teams.
There
well,
is
of course.
A lack of harmony publicly.
What was it? What's the other loss?
Between Jalen
Broncos.
Hurts and his weapons, his offensive weapons. There's this discourse between Hurts, Barkley, Brown, and Smith.
Right.
They finally get it together last week, and you're like, all right, this is the champion team that we know. But the Giants can send them right back down to square one, where this team is once again in big trouble, the way that they were late in 2023 when they had that crazy collapse. Because again, that was a team that was supposed to make the Super Bowl 2 years ago and didn't. They had that late season collapse. This feels the same way. They get that win to get out of the doghouse, but you can send them right back into the doghouse this week. If the Giants do that, they're heroes. They're
God,
heroes.
It's true.
No one wants to see the Eagles be. So, you know, it's their Super Bowl, and that they could prevent the Eagles from making the Super Bowl by sending them right back to where they were. And time's running out for this Eagles team to really start clicking.
This is like totally off topic, but I was planning on going to the public library this Sunday and like doing my internship applicant and like locking in basically, but I'm realizing this game is at 1, so I might have to change my Sunday plans around. I can't not watch this game. But turning it over to the other team that plays in MetLife Stadium, and oh boy, the New York Jets are.
It's so hard to talk about them.
There's nothing to say.
Every time Joe puts me on NFL Friday, and it's been a host twice in a row this time, I'm like, how are we going to talk about the Jets? Because I'm running out of things to say. I'm running out of adjectives to use because they just keep doing the same thing. They're 0-7. They lost to the Carolina Panthers on Sunday at MetLife Stadium, 13-6. Just such a boring game. And then yesterday, Woody Johnson, owner of the New York Jets, rips Justin Fields while defending Aaron Glenn, his head coach. I have a quote for you guys. It's hard when you have a quarterback with the rating that we've got. He has the ability, but something is not jibing. If you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you are going to see similar results across the league. You have to play consistently at that position, and that's what we're going to try to do for the remainder of the season. That is the owner of the Jets, who employs Justin Fields,
so
signs the checks.
Switching to Tyrod Taylor?
So
what's going on?
I should bring up Justin Fields benched at halftime on Sunday. Joe, you were there. You can talk about this a little bit. But
yep.
So now Aaron Glenn has not yet said who is going to start on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. Joe, you were there. Brendan was also there. Maybe you could be in here. What did you guys see this weekend?
What did we see? Well, when we walked in the press box, they had waffles.
Oh, and that will play.
They had waffles, bacon, hash browns, cereal if you're into that kind of thing. We're not.
Oh, they weren't good. That's really sad.
Not good.
Yeah, so you just got the IP. I was going to break the news. Okay. The waffles were helpful. Akin to
the team?
The Jets.
I see.
And that on the outside, they looked promising. And on the inside, I didn't even get to take a bite. They were so crunchy that they're literally like I couldn't have eaten this waffle. Just the way that I literally can't watch this Jets team and get anything out of it.
Isn't that the perfect description of the Jets?
It really sums it up. It's an amalgamation, as Chris Green
would say. The Jets are a crunchy waffle. And in this game,
and
every game.
Can we even let them be a waffle, though?
I love waffles.
Yeah, as a concept, waffles are waffles.
I don't want to look at a waffle and just think of the Jets.
I love football. I love football.
Okay, so we're calling waffles football.
Waffles are akin to the football.
Okay.
And the pancake is perhaps baseball.
Okay.
No. Flip that.
No good?
No, the waffle is baseball because that's
We're already waffling football.
No.
The waffle
is basketball then, if we're changing things up here.
No.
Waffle football link has already been set.
Basketball's like oatmeal. Okay,
it's insane.
Grace, that was crazy.
Basketball's oatmeal, and I like oatmeal. I like oatmeal
basketball
a lot.
Is like Lucky Charms, like really good.
Can we get real?
All right. Actually, that's a good
or
call.
Bacon. That's a or good bacon.
Jesus, it could guys. No, you could be like scrambled eggs and a little ketchup.
I know. The Jets are like a bad waffle. every Sunday morning, I wake up, I'm excited to indulge, and I get them on my plate. They look nice.
There you go.
And there's nothing I can do with them. I can't even.
You can't even bite into it?
I took a thing of syrup, Kate Cox, and I love syrup.
Syrup.
And I couldn't. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I
and
like I that. Couldn't, I like the pronunciation.
Wait, do you not? What?
Syrup.
Syrup.
No.
Syrup.
Syrup.
Oh, no. Good Lord.
Okay, we can't get into this now. Please keep going, Joe.
I wasted multiple grams of syrup. Perhaps even an ounce, because there was nothing to use on the syrup.
How was like
the
everything
syrup didn't
else
even
there?
Make it
good,
a little softer.
Okay, so well, you had something to eat there because Brendan
no,
just said
it's,
everything
it's
else
no.
was good.
No,
everything else is good as always. Shout out, it's free there, MetLife Fresh Box food. So like,
something we can't say
no
for
complaints
some
at all.
Other teams.
Certainly not free to get into a Jets game, which is a crime. They should pay us.
They should pay us.
Anyways, and
stole
I hate
my,
to,
stole my
I
joke.
I hate to just
yeah.
like bag on a team because this is a professional football team. Every single player on that team can do things that I could ever do. However, this team, man, oh my gosh. I believe this is the second straight week they didn't score a touchdown. Usually you do have to score touchdowns to win. They did not do that. They also did not win against a Panthers team that I know is 4-3. And in Brendan, in an outtake we had when me and Brendan did the post-game show, I called the Panthers the worst team with a winning record of all time.
Of all time? You're throwing like, of all time around a little too much today.
You do love that.
Like the, you're very extreme
a
with
can't,
it.
A guy can't be an extremist. All right.
only
look,
sometimes.
I like the Panthers, but this team is not good. They're not a 4-3 good.
No,
they're,
it's not a good football
maybe
team.
3-4 good, probably 2-5 good.
I feel like they're not as like catastrophic as they have been.
Certainly, their defense has
but
been better
that
than
is
expected.
A low,
their run
low
game
bar.
Has certainly been better than expected, yeah. But this team is not good.
It's not a good football team.
And the Panthers didn't play well. They scored 13 points.
No,
problem.
Exactly.
Jets scored 6. It's
Panthers
I wish
are
I had,
not to cut you off. Panthers yeah, yeah. are second in the NFC South.
Yeah, it's a little silly.
Which
little
is
silly.
Crazy.
Absolutely
crazy.
Comical kind division.
Very, very silly.
Kind but crazy.
Yeah, it's. I wish I had more constructive things to say. Justin Fields, it's tricky because obviously in this game he didn't Garrett Wilson. I didn't think that the Jets established the run game. They did establish it pretty well in the first quarter, but then they really didn't commit to it as heavily as I think they should have. If like this, lean on your strength. And I usually say lean on your strengths. I mean, lean on your one single solitude strength, which is running the football.
Okay.
And they're not doing that. And sure. And even in a game where they started out by establishing that well, something that they haven't consistently done this season, I feel bad for Fields. I think part of it is his fault. He still needs to get the ball out faster. It's not something that he's done well at all season. That he did a little bit better of it in this game, but the Jets still took 6 sacks as a unit. I think it's their third straight match. Been covering too much volleyball. It's their third straight game surrendering at least 5 sacks. I believe 5, 9, and 6.
Totally.
Not going to win you football games. The defense, a bright spot. The defense all around looked great. The secondary particularly had a great return to form. This is a secondary with a bunch of great names on it. Sauce Gardner chief among them. But you got DJ Reed too. You have Moore. You have Thomas. You have guys that can make plays in that secondary. And they were making plays. A lot of pass breakups. It's still a team that's not forcing nearly enough turnovers. Even, like, obviously, if you read the numbers, it's like, how much does it matter if a team has 5 interceptions versus 2? Is that necessarily going to correlate with your record?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the momentum swinging, in terms of the starting field position, being able to force turnovers helps you win football games. It helps you feel like you're a good team. This team does not force any turnovers. You're not going to win football games if you don't force turnovers. You're not going to win football games if your starting field position is on your side of the 50 every single drive, the way that it has been all year for this team. That's the story of the Jets. There's too many things to talk about with this team. Even the defense on a day which it had a bright spot. It's a second straight good performance for this defense. It's still not forcing turnovers in the way that you need a defense to do for your offense to succeed. And the offense, even in the absence of the turnovers, isn't able to succeed on any single drive because every single part of this offense is subpar. Anyways, yeah, we had a great time. We'd do it again.
Your play date. It was fun. That's good.
Yeah, we had fun together.
that's really heartwarming. I think the general question with the Jets here, and this is a crazy sentence to say, mm-hmm. but where do we see their first win coming? If there's going to be any, I'm looking at their.
Let's look at their schedule.
Nothing makes me happier on NFL Friday than looking at a team's schedule. So
Cincinnati will be interesting.
Cincinnati is interesting.
Is it interesting enough for them to win?
I would be surprised if the Jets win.
No.
However, it's an interesting match, and we talked about it in the post game, me and Brendan on Sunday. The Jets are a team that's riding its defense the past mm-hmm. couple of weeks. The defense has been great, particularly against the pass. The Bengals just had a fantastic passing output last week. How is this defense going to match up against that Bengals offense? That's going to be a really fun clash. And then it's an offense facing a really bad Bengals defense. So opportunities abound for this Jets team. I think this is an intriguing matchup.
It is an intriguing matchup. I don't think I would pick the Jets, though.
Me neither.
I mean,
no.
The only game
that I'm looking at on the schedule that they could win is Saints and maybe Dolphins.
I was thinking the Dolphins because they have just been absolutely floundering these days. But the Dolphins did already beat the Jets.
That's what I'm saying is there's
that. And the Saints, yeah.
That's the only one that
Saints are pretty
could say
bad.
They could maybe
they're
win.
They're
1-6.
1-6. They're one win, of course, against the Giants. We don't have to talk about that, though. Vanessa, what do you think?
I mean, the Jets are just unwatchable. So, like, there's nothing. I mean, here's the thing. For their sake, I don't want them to win any games. Because I don't think drastic measures are going to happen until you look at your record, you have no wins, and you're like, so we just need to switch everything up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, I had hopes for Justin Fields. You know, when he was on Pittsburgh, he played those first couple of games. I was like, hey, you know, he really isn't a wasted potential that he was on the Bears. You know, I thought there was a chance.
Maybe this guy's not wasted potential. Yeah. That's such a funny way to.
I know it's a funny. way to look at it,
no,
but then
no, it's good. Yeah,
but then I'm like, all right, like what's going on here? And then there's also no good backup options, really. I mean,
Tyrod Taylor does not move me.
He was doing a much better job of pushing the ball down the field
than
Justin Fields, to say the least, when he came in the game.
Yeah, but
he also
only had a 45% completion rate, which is awful.
I have a question, though, for you guys.
And 3 sacks, which isn't really all him. That's the offensive line. But in general, they need another quarterback.
Yeah, that leads me into my question. And this would be the smart way to go about it. do you think the Jets are going to try and trade for another quarterback?
Nah.
You don't think so?
I think it's too late.
I think it's too late. Yeah. I think they've probably... I can't imagine in that front office that they haven't accepted that it's just going to be like this.
Bad, yeah.
And, like, I mean, listen, they could get the first overall pick quite easily.
I'd love to see that happen. Season ends today, they do it.
Well, yes, but there are, unfortunately... 10
Yeah, but
games.
We're talking about this team. Like, you think this team's going to go on a run?
Yeah.
Do we think they're going to win any other
game? No, but what if, I mean, like, you know, some teams, like, accidentally win a game. Like, you never know.
It does happen.
It frequently happens to the teams we root for. It happened to the Giants last year, but that worked out, so it's okay. Patriots.
That's how we got Drake May.
See, but that's what I'm saying. Sometimes it works out.
Right.
But the Jets, I mean...
What do you guys think of Aaron Glenn's coaching? That's
It's always, like, I try to be light when I judge coaches because I couldn't possibly know how good they are. I only have these certain videos where I see how they interact with the team and I'm like, oh, I like that or I don't like that. And obviously you have the output on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You can somewhat judge the play calling. Obviously specific situations like third and fourth downs, it's easy. But otherwise it's a little, frankly, it's above my head. And I think I know football decently well, but I'm not an NFL coach level or an NFL player level of knowledge at all. So it was very hard to judge. I was very high on him coming in. I had heard only good things. Woody Johnson just had this glowing, compliments for him this week, which is really bizarre.
Compliments/insults to Justin Fields. Yes,
I'll admit, like Glenn in the postgame presser, I was shocked at how like he was very calm and respectful. Usually, coaches are like not like. Usually, if a coach is in Aaron Glenn's position right now, it wouldn't be those
crushing
two things. But it's hard to say.
On the table.
But at the end of the day, the way you evaluate a coach more than anything else is the record, and the record would be 0-7.
It's funny that you bring up the. Like coaches who are in this position because this is totally different sport, obviously. But the San Jose Sharks coach the other day, they have not yet won a game. Young early season, but haven't won a game in the past 2 weeks.
That's rough.
He said that he would give up one of his children for a win. He said that was something he said, and he apologized the next day because obviously you can't really say that. You could absolutely think it.
That's crazy.
You don't say that.
Playoff win, maybe, but regular season, crazy.
You can absolutely think it. You know,
maybe,
people
maybe,
think
maybe
crazy things.
We love a good coach crash out.
No, he's not estranged with them. He's a family guy.
He's rocking with his kids.
He's rocking with the kids. I don't know how
Clearly
many he has, but I think it's more
much.
Than
Some,
one.
You know, after a certain number, kind of expendable.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to look at the social media and
three,
see which
I'm
one of
like,
them is like not in
right,
there a lot.
If you have,
and you're like, oh, he had a kid in his head that he was willing to
Right, my dad's in a family of eight. He has seven siblings.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Not saying names on the pod, but come on, there's one or two of those that are expendable. And with you know, we're deep enough in the pod, I can say this.
this is an episode.
And look, love my Henry brethrens, but I haven't even met two of my aunts and they're alive.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And they live in Massachusetts.
Where you live.
So yes. Close enough, right? Massachusetts is not a big state. My point is, and not that I would ever sacrifice a human for a game, probably.
You're starting to sound like digging yourself a hole here, Joe.
It sounds like you want to sacrifice a son and a daughter.
I never do that. I'm just joking.
Say it again.
He has a son and a daughter.
All right, so which one are you getting
rid of? Which one is he getting
rid of? But my point in bringing up...
son or dead daughter? No?
My point... We need a moment after that.
No good?
All right. That was incredible.
Yeah, I was going to say, which one's good at sports? That's the real
That's
question.
The one you got to keep. Yeah. But listen, my point in bringing up the Sharks coach is that, yes, coaches in that position usually are not very calm and collected. Aaron Glenn was a player with the Jets for a long time. He was very good. He knows the organization. I think he probably knows that the Jets are... a little unserious, to put it kindly.
But seriously, this team actually does have talent.
They do have talent, but it's also like
this team should be winning 4 or 5 games.
And over the course of the year,
yeah,
or like
theoretically,
so far?
They
okay,
would already have 1 or 2 wins. They don't.
But I'm saying like I think he is the guy to lead this team because he's been there.
I wouldn't be that confident at this point, but I also think we should pump the brakes on like, oh, this guy's trash. When people
I don't
judge
think,
coaches that
no.
quickly,
if anybody,
except for an Urban Meyer's case,
yes, that was bad.
That quickly, it's like, how could you possibly know?
But that is, like, I think this situation, like, people are thinking he should be fired. Like, first of all, I don't think it's going to happen. And second of all, who's the other? My question with when people call for firing coaches is, like, who is your next option?
Right.
Like, when, yeah, I mean, not to mix our sports again, but, like, you know, everyone's calling for Aaron Boone's head all the time. I'm like, all right, but who are you hiring? You have to think about the next step after that. It's not just about getting rid of one guy. Exactly. It's about who you're bringing in after. So, yes, I do believe in Aaron Glenn. I think he's been dealt a bad hand. Like, he's, you know, they're coming out of the Aaron Rodgers era, which was very, very up and down, let's say.
And they just fired their coach last year.
Right. Like what?
How
like,
many coaches what, are you going to fire direction, until this team is good?
Like, what direction are they headed in is the question. Yeah. And I think if they get the first overall pick, they obviously need to draft a quarterback. Like, I don't think that should be a question anymore. Justin Fields is obviously not going to be a long-term good solution. So, but I think that's enough Jets chatter. They will face the Bengals in Cincinnati on Sunday and then come back home to play the Browns. What a fun game that's going to be. Good Lord. That's going to have 10 viewers.
Thriller.
All right, let's move away from MetLife Stadium, the House of Horrors, as I like to call it.
Love that.
The Indianapolis Colts, guys, not a team that I thought would be 6-1 at this point.
What especially heck, with Daniel guys? Jones as their starting quarterback.
Especially with Indiana Jones. not something I thought would be happening when the Colts signed Daniel Jones. I was like, all right, I'm glad he has I'm glad he has a job. I don't root against the guy, but I wasn't expecting it to be.
I'm glad he's employed.
I'm glad to see that he has employment, yeah. He's had wins against the Dolphins. Now, okay, let me preface this. At first, when the Colts started off really well, I was like, they're not beating any good football teams.
Right.
You know, the Dolphins, yeah. Let's just go through this list of wins thus far. Dolphins, Broncos, that's a big one.
Good one.
Titans, Raiders, Cardinals, Chargers is also a good one. But, like, it's two good
wins. And
they
have one loss, right?
They have one loss to the Rams, who might go to the Super Bowl.
Who are really, really good.
The Athletics Power Rankings, which were released this week, have them ranked number 2 in the league, only behind the Detroit Lions, who also could go to the Super Bowl. Yep. So, just round table here. I mean, what on earth is going on with the Colts? And do we believe in them? Are we going to see a fall off, or is this for real, Kate?
Well, very confusing because I didn't see this team coming anywhere close to what they are right now. And definitely not number 2 in power rankings, but here we are. This season in general, not even just this team, has just been number 1 surprising and number 2 so entertaining because everything that has happened is like, what is going on? But this team has been so good in rushing in particular, which is something some teams really, really struggle with. But they're on pace to break that 1962 record from the Packers of totaling rushing touchdowns.
Lord.
And I mean, if they do that, it's like, you got to go far in the playoffs. However, there are some spots on their defense that you kind of have to look at and be like, ooh, what's happening? They've had a lot of defensive ends play for them, or not play for them, kind of try out and work out with them in the last week. And I guess I'm curious to see where that goes, because their offense I'm not worried about. It's where their defense ends up that I think will determine the rest of their season. And if they end up with a player or two that can really help this defense, then I feel like the Colts will go in a really will end up in a really, really good place. Otherwise, I'm not so sure about this team.
Go ahead.
It's been really good for my fantasy leagues, that's for sure. I have Michael Pittman on both of my teams, and he's been racking up the fantasy points. I have Daniel Jones in one of my leagues, also been racking up the points. I'm happy to see that they're doing well, though. You know, it's just, it's something good to see. They're just going to be a team to watch. That's really all you can say about it. You know, who are they playing next week?
Next week is the Titans again. So
okay,
that's a
so
win.
That's
going to be 7-1.
But then they play the Steelers.
That's an interesting game.
That's going to be a very interesting game.
Then the Falcons and the Chiefs. That kind
Chiefs of, they could beat.
The Chiefs they could beat. It's just whether or not the Chiefs have play well and then if they figure it out.
Yeah.
Which, let's be honest, they're going to figure it out by then.
Yeah. Which they're already starting to figure it out, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. They're not on fraud watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see it. I mean, I'm happy to see that Daniel Jones is doing well. I'm happy to see that, you know, all of the talent that they have is really, really, really showing out. Mm-hmm. I haven't really paid attention to their defense much, especially if I'm watching Red Zone. But you know, it's interesting. We'll see what happens. See, that's really all you can say about it.
Yeah, Joe, what were you just doing?
What was I doing? Making a business call.
Okay.
I was trying to. My best friend from home is a Colts fan.
Okay.
And normally we had an adversarial relationship about football because
Peyton versus Brady. You know, yes, I remember.
Obviously. And even when Luck was around, like, Colts were one of the best contenders to the Patriots.
Miss Andrew Luck.
I wanted to hear his thoughts because I haven't talked to him in depth about their sudden success. And I'm not going to lie and say that I've watched a ton of Colts football or that I'm a big believer. But after this past week, like, I was down them a ton last week on the show. I was like, there's no way this team's actually good. And while the Chargers have some glaring, like, concerns, it's still a very impressive win this past week. And I think it has to start with the run game. I think the defense has had the names for long enough, and they're finally putting it together, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. But the run game, like, Taylor's back up to what he was in 2021. He's having a generational year. Him, CMC, and Jahmyr Gibbs are, like, they're the top three running backs in the league right now.
Which is crazy because Saquon Barkley had, like, an unbelievable season last year, and he's not even in that list.
It was Offensive Player of the Year last year.
Yeah, and had, like, a record-breaking year, but please.
Taylor could be Offensive Player of the Year this year, the way things are going. I think he'd probably be the leading candidate right now, because usually it's a non-QB award. He's insane. Their O-line's also fantastic, and that's always been a reality for this Colts team, but it's especially come together well this year. And when you have a rushing attack that dynamic, which only a few teams really do, to be honest, like, it's only a few teams that have an elite rushing attack this year. They have that, and they also have a quarterback who out of nowhere is accurate. They have weapons who, after a few years of being very inconsistent, Michael Pittman last year, have been much more consistent, reliable, and gotten open much more often. It's an offense that's dicing teams up. And now their games are going to be ones that I actually have to watch instead of me being like, they'll lose this week, right? Oh, they'll lose, like, this nonsense, this tomfoolery will be over with by next week. No, they are actually legit. We're going to have to actually watch them. And I'm not a hater. I just was a doubter, and I like being right. So I was hoping that they
would start. So you're mad that you're wrong?
I'm not mad.
I've been that way, so it's fine.
So it would have been great if they started being bad, and I could be like, all right, you know, Joe's right again. But Joe's wrong again. I'll have to keep a closer eye on them, but at least from my kind of not very expert level perspective, it looks like it starts with the run game and also the defense is putting it together.
All right. To keep going with this theme of the rest of the league, our next topic is specifically for Joe and Kate.
Yes.
I just wrote Drake May on my document. I almost said the New York Patriots. Yikes. Need to go to bed.
The New England Patriots
are 5-2. They sit atop the AFC East. Admittedly, the AFC East is half Dolphins and Jets, which is pretty bad. But
The Bills.
But the Bills. The Bills are very good. Just, like, give us just say whatever about Drake May.
Say whatever.
Do you want to start?
No, I can start.
Nothing crazy. Yeah. But
I can start. I mean, so like I'm not someone who's gonna go on and just say like total malarkey about my teams. Like obviously I'm gonna be optimistic and I'm gonna be biased, but I'm not gonna be insane about it. And I'm also gonna be upfront about it. Like I'm biased. I'm a Patriots fan. I love Drake May. However, first off, get out of the way. 5-2 record. It's awesome. There's really only one win on there where you're like, oh, wow, Bills. Like, that win was huge. That's very impressive. The rest of it, nah. The schedule, the Patriots have the easiest schedule in football.
Ridiculous
no
schedule.
Doubt. It's crazy, and it's only getting easier. It's awesome.
They play the Giants December 1st. That might be a loss.
Very easy. and
that's Lydia's birthday. You have to hope that the Giants win.
Why would I?
Because she's going to be there because it's in New England. She's going to be home for Thanksgiving. Doesn't matter. Shout out Lydia.
Love you, Lydia. Happy birthday,
she also
Lydia,
would be very happy about the Daniel Jones-based segment that we just had. So, anyway, please continue.
So it's hard to measure like full legitness. Like, do I think this is a Super Bowl contender? I think it's too early to say that. even though they have a 5-2 record. Like, that's one of the best records in football, right? But I think I think it's too early to say that they're a true contender. But I don't think it's too early to say this team has done what I said earlier and skipped a year in its rebuild and should be a playoff team this year. They're currently leading the division. They might win the division given how easy their schedule is. Most importantly, we're back to having fun, Kate. We're having fun again. We haven't had fun in a few years.
It was like
years.
2 years, guys.
Well,
it's been like
five
so
years,
fun. It's
a
been
lifetime.
5 years,
it's
and
a
it felt it's felt really, really long.
You don't get it.
You have no
you
idea
don't
what
understand.
It's like to suffer. You just had the Celtics
I have
win
suffered
2 years
the
ago.
Last
I haven't seen
five
anything
years.
Since I was like five.
This is like the worst period of Boston sports in in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
And it's still like really can't complain.
And we also, I mean.
So, yeah, from Drake May's standpoint, to break his game down a little bit.
Celtics won less than 2 years ago, but please.
The Josh Allen comps are, he doesn't play exactly like Josh Allen, but I can see where their comps come from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His decision-making out of the pocket has been so excellent this year. It's crazy. In this game against the Titans, he wasn't working out of the pocket a whole ton, but his work deep in the pocket and after taking pressure to either go up the gut and get first downs, which he did in abundance in this game, or to make plays with his feet and then throw the ball as he's stepping up in the pocket. That's as good as I've seen it from him. He had a 91.3% completion percentage, the highest in Patriots franchise history. The guy before him is named Tom Brady, so...
Just only, like, the best quarterback of all time.
That's pretty good.
But
that's pretty good.
Why did I put this segment on?
And I'm not going to go on too long, but... He has been genuinely super, super fun to watch. I think he's getting better with every game. Like, I don't think this is some fluke. Suddenly he's good for this year, and then he's going to come back down to earth, kind of the way that, I guess you could say, C.J. Stroud was as a rookie, and since then he hasn't fully lived up to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think May is, like, increasing at a rate where you can believe that this guy's actually going to be a superstar quarterback. And not to, like, say that C.J. Stroud's career is over or something. But I think what May is starting to do over these past few weeks is going to be the start of something like a long-term special thing. I genuinely think he's that good. I'm not saying that just because I'm a Patriots fan. This guy has the intangibles to be a real like franchise QB top five in the league. Like, he can be that. I don't think it's crazy. You're raising your eyebrows.
No,
Grace.
No, with it's you. Not crazy.
No, I'm
and
with
we
you.
Saw that young guy, and we've seen that young guy before. It didn't work out with Mac, and to see R.I.P.
Rip Bailey Zappe.
No,
to see the progress that he's made over the last year at like a slow and steady rate to the point where it does look like he's improving every game is not something I was entirely expecting from him. And every game I watch him, I'm happily surprised. And now I'm going to start expecting this out of him because he has been playing so well. But just in general, this team, I think, has really turned it around, especially given how awful they were last year, and I feel like a lot of that is due to Mike Vrabel, and he's been absolutely incredible. Obviously, they played against the Titans. They beat the Titans 31-13, and that he returned to his alma mater, I guess you could say, that fired
spot.
Him.
Yeah, that was crazy how they did that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he kind of showed them up, had a great game, and I mean, they're second in the AFC right now, which is fabulous.
What a ridiculous year we're having.
Crazy.
Very silly,
do
very
I think
goofy.
This is going to be a Super Bowl team? Not necessarily. I don't know if they're ready for that yet. And you talked about the conversation of, oh, does he look like Josh Allen when he throws? And the person that's saying it the most is Stephon Diggs, his teammate.
Which is crazy.
Which is very interesting, honestly, because if anyone's going to see it the most, it's him. But either way, I feel like Drake May is the future of this team. And I'm very excited to see not what they do this year, but what they do next year and the year after. Because, yes, they're a playoff team this year, but I don't know if this is the year. I think, but they're setting themselves up for a very happy, exciting future.
Very happy.
I'm very excited. Happy. I'm personally very happy, excited. It's great to be a Boston sports
Drake fan. May and I are going to live very happily for a very long time.
Yes.
Two things about Patriots that I want to touch on. One, the defense has had the talent for years, and it's finally coming together, and they're finally going to get recognition. Christian Gonzalez is finally getting healthy. Him and Marcus Jones is a pairing at cornerback is like phenomenal. Marcus Jones is having an unreal year right now. Watch out for this Patriots defense. Can't be underrated. Mm-hmm. And then also I would say the addition of Stephon Diggs, who's been genuinely one of the best 15 receivers in football this year, which I don't think, like, I didn't expect that. I don't think anyone expected him to be that good. I expected him to be kind of the level of like DeAndre Hopkins or Odell when they made their like when they went to their next team, right? Right after their prime, where they're like still impactful but not fantastic, right?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to take that step back. He's been like pretty darn close to his prime.
Yeah.
In terms of his output, and that's also opened up avenues for the rest of the Patriots skill position players who we thought have been talented but have never done anything, frankly, to finally start doing things. Kayshon Boutte has been unreal this year. Demario Douglas and the touches he does get have been great. Ramondre Stevenson has looked much better when he's not fumbling the ball. And that's been the story for the entire Patriots receiving corps. It's opening things up for them in a way that they haven't had, because Patriots historically, you know, are not a receiver, like they're not a wide receiver team, so to speak. They never have a superstar wide receiver, right? Like Edelman, I don't think you call him a superstar, though. Like, he's a fantastic receiver. Like, one of my favorite athletes ever. But is he a superstar? He's someone who always makes the plays, right? He always makes the plays. He's one of the best playoff players
Randy Moss is the last true superstar receiver
that the Patriots had. Usually this team kind of has a few serviceable guys.
Okay.
And makes it happen. They have not really even had that level since Brady left. And that's been something that was absent from the evaluation of guys like Matt Jones, who never really got to throw to guys who were genuinely like great players. Anyways, Pats are good, man. Have fun watching that team. It's a fun team.
Yep.
Fun team. Good time.
Do you have as much fun watching them as you did on February 3rd, 2008? Sorry.
Grace, how old were you for that? Three?
Yeah, I was, and I remember it very clearly. Yeah.
Well, we were both crying that day for different reasons.
Yeah. My dad probably, I don't remember my dad crying, but like he probably cried.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, Patriots are good. I'll hand it to them. They're good.
Patriots are good.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mean, moving right along.
We're just having fun, by the way.
I was going like, to say.
If you ever, like Jets fans, I know Jets, Patriots, whatever. If you ever want to have fun, feel free, man. Feel free. Tune in.
I mean, they were kind of like the epitome of evil for like 20 years.
Yeah, but we're chill.
But we were always having fun.
We're chill guys.
We were always having fun.
Before it was we personally are having fun and everyone else is going to hate this. Now it's like we're having fun and everyone's welcome to join along.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. You can have fun with us. As a New York fan, you know, I can't.
Yeah, you've said some things too,
stay with
Grace,
me
so
here. Stay with me here, Grace.
No, I'm just messing with you.
Honestly, I'm actually happy for them.
Oh my God.
Wait.
Wow.
Yes. Wait,
I can't believe
we just got that out. Stay with me here.
We've lost the ancient texts.
Stay with me here. As much as I'm like trying not to say that, it's a very different Patriots team from what we've seen in the past years. The person I'm happy for mainly is Vrabel.
Yeah.
Because I really, really like him.
Love him.
I did not like how he got screwed over by the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing for the team that he played for. He's a Patriots alum. And, you know, when you have someone that has, you know, loved that team because simply from playing on them, and you see it in college football too. You know, you're seeing it with the guy who's coaching UCLA now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you have that love for that team because you played for them, it's a different kind of love. And then of course, I always, you know, I think Drake May is also great. Stephon Diggs, I don't know really how I feel about him because the Bills are like my AFC team.
Okay.
Just because I felt, you know, the parting of ways was a little interesting. But, you know, yeah. There you go.
But it's not like we stole him from the Bills.
No, I mean,
we took him from another team after the Bills.
But I'm just saying that...
He loves that red, white, and blue.
I'm just saying that the wounds are still a little fresh on that end, I feel like. Just because also he didn't have a full year last year.
Yeah.
What I love about Vrabel, and I know... I've been a Belichick defender on many of these podcasts one-on-one.
and in the Fordham Ram.
There are so many clips about that. It. Well, actually, I was not a defender in that article. That's true.
Wait, did you write another one about him in the Ram, or was that
No,
someone
I just
else?
Went on a huge
Oh, that was
rant.
You.
I just went sure. on a huge rant on one-on-one sure. that has been clipped many times where I said I wanted him to coach me on a football team.
Oh, Squealy Kate. The origins of Squealy Kate. This was
that
the origins.
That wasn't even.
Yes, it was.
Also,
yes,
the fact
was.
That we're putting no that nickname on air is crazy.
That's Joe. Ridiculous.
And really fast Anyways. To redeem myself on air, and yep. shout out to Brendan, I respect the Patriots. Not okay. like them, respect
That's
them.
Fine.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That's
and
fine.
And I love Vrabel because it feels like a completely different energy
oh my gosh,
than what
it's
we had.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And it's such a great difference. He's like participating. He was on a talk show and started doing the touchdown celebrations.
He's
like
nuts. Yeah, he's like having fun.
He's having fun
with
the team,
crazy.
With the media. We have never seen that before, at least not in my timeline. And
There's
it's just been
a-
really fun to watch. It's such like a switch of this team that we haven't seen before. And I think it's because a lot of this core is really young and it's just exciting to watch them have fun. Mm-hmm. Because obviously it was fun to watch them win for so long, but now it feels like even if they aren't winning every game, they're still like playing well and it's still fun to watch every game.
Yeah.
I just feel like the vibes are different from
oh,
like
absolutely.
From like the Brady era. I feel like it's just like a very,
Don't smile
very different
at me like
vibe.
That. It's such a different vibe and it's a great vibe and I love this vibe.
I would love this vibe for the Giants.
It's crazy.
They kind they're on their way there.
They're on their way. I'd
they're,
love to
they're
I'd love
moving
to see
towards
year.
The station.
Yeah.
Scadaboo and Dart are that vibe.
Just exactly.
Everyone needs to kind of
they just got to bring it all together.
Yes.
And then they have that vibe and then
the puzzle pieces
back,
are there
the
guys.
Patriots.
The puzzle pieces are there.
Okay, that's not funny. I just lost my other favorite running back and I'm not over
that.
That
would
either.
Actually be fabulous.
So what are
Who's your sorry.
I don't know.
Back?
Saquon Barkley.
Oh.
2 years ago, Joe. Please.
I thought you were talking about
that. Talk about
Dude,
when
I
cried.
Like, I was like, oh, I didn't
Did
know
you actually
Tyrone
cry
Tracy
about that?
Got injured.
No, I don't even think I cried. I think I just felt nauseous for the rest of the day, which is somehow worse.
Valid.
Like, I actually laid in my bed and felt sick, and I, like, called my mom, and I was like, this is the worst day ever. Mm. Not to be dramatic, but it was really bad. Anyway, moving on to next week's slate of games. Got a couple picked out here that I wanted to go over. Packers-Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Mm.
Exciting, I think.
It could be interesting. Let's just go round table picks. Kate, who do you got? And give us a score.
Ooh, I don't know if I can give a score. I'm going to go Green Bay, but it will be a close matchup. I can say that. I do believe that Pittsburgh has been, I mean, they've been consistently always kind of good, but this year the way that Rodgers has played has surprised me. Like, he's played a lot better than I expected from him. And so I think this will be a closer matchup, but I am going to go Packers.
Joe, you got to go quick here. We're running out
of
time.
Oh, sorry, man.
That's okay.
Definitely Packers over Steelers. This is a Packers team that I'm not fully bought in on, but their running game is really good. The Steelers defense has been struggling lately. The Packers convert better than anyone in the football in the football league on third down. I think they take care of business against the Steelers team that maybe starts a scuffle, even though they've been generally but anyways, Packers win.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, That's you guys have pretty much said everything that I would say. I mean, I think it's impossible to put a score on it just because it is going to be a very close game. One might even say a possible overtime.
Okay.
But yeah, I think the Green Bay is just in a better position to win.
All right, we're actually running out of time. My other game was Commanders Chiefs, but I think we can go round table and say Chiefs on that.
Yes.
But we are out of time. Thank you for listening to NFL Friday, a WFUV Sports production. We will be back with you next week to cover another slate of games.